Hello, my friends. Jacob's here one more time and just in time. Huh? What a great show to do in the midst of all the madness and all the just the misery and heartbreak and terror that has been unleashed on us all. We need a little bit of a break, don't we? We need a little bit of a break. So why don't we talk about something? Why don't we talk about like reality unraveling before our eyes? Like we don't even know what's real anymore, huh? Why don't we do that? That'll be fun. It's called the Mandela Effect. You ever hear that? I'm kind of known for it. I have like probably one of the biggest videos outside of like all those huge social media influencers that are like multi-gabillionaires. I have a very big video on and millions of views talking about the Mandela Effect. Mandela Effect is basically you think you know something and all of a sudden it's totally different. Logos changed. Lines and movies have changed. I have a whole playlist. If you want, watch the playlist and catch up. Today, specifically, we're going to talk about like a major change that I discovered just yesterday when I was going through the old Bible. You know, the most important book that I've ever, you know, had the pleasure of reading. I love the scriptures. I really do. And, you know, with the way things are today, we might as well get into it. We might as well get into it, right? We might as well take a break from all the madness because people have lost their minds. You know, like, did you hear about that 33-year-old guy who just like yesterday decided, hey, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to jump down and jump into the old 9/11 thing. You know, the infinity pool that goes down, the big, like, the endless pool. He's like, yeah, I'm just going to jump down. I'm going to go to the edge and then I'm going to flip down into the abyss. 33 years old. Very symbolic. Very strange how this happens. And by the way, he only suffered a couple of like a broken leg or something. I don't know. He's like alive. He's going to get like trespassing charges or something. But it was like all over. It's very strange. Not as strange as the old Trumpster posting a picture of himself serving up tennis. Yeah, he's like, eh, it's my turn to serve. I got the ball now. Kim Shaney on X, she put out a post where she's like, yeah, 88, because it put it out on, you know, October 8th, 8-8. Not to mention the Trumpster put that out. He was 77 years of age and 117 days. Ho, 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 ho! A lot of freaky stuff. So we might as well have a little bit of fun with these things, you know? A lot of freaky things. I was typing in, just for whatever reason, I was typing in meteor shower into the old Google browser, and then I found this happening. Well, like, what is that? You know? And then you can type in meteor. I talked to everybody about this. I said, oh, why did I got a meteor, you know, smashing into the screen? Oh, why did I got the DART mission? You know, the DART mission? They just, they went and they smashed into these two asteroids. Why did I got that thing? You know, making the old Google screen look all crooked. Something coming from space. Something. Is that what's happening? Who knows? Who knows? I just thought that maybe all of you needed a little bit of a break. Maybe a little bit of a break from all of the terrible news. You know, before we start hearing, like on a regular basis, that now Putin's in charge. He's the guy that's behind all this. Just like my thumbnail. If you didn't see my last video, you should probably check it out. But if you look at that video that I did, which was like 1 year from when all this stuff went down, you see Putin right there, and you see, you know, Mr. The actor who runs that that bird country, the crane country. He's like pointing at Putin. And then guess what happens? What happens? He's saying Putin's behind it. It's just all I feel like we're, I feel like, you know what? I feel like we're in a simulation. So why not? Why not talk a little bit about the Mandela Effect? Before you go crazy, you know, looking at Ben Shapiro's posts and all these other posts. Everybody's so bloodthirsty. Everybody's so ready to just, you know, just destroy them all. Destroy them all. Forget about peace. Forget about truce. Destroy them all. And they're like, oh yeah, and they're bringing up like Moses, and they're bringing up David, and they're bringing up all these people in the Bible that killed the enemies of God. Yeah, well, you know what's funny? That everybody, especially the Jews, they're supposed to be worshiping the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And guess what? Jacob never killed nobody. You know what? After his daughter, Dinah, was like, she was like terribly attacked and taken advantage of, and it was a really terrible thing. And Jacob's sons went off and then just like, wiped out a people because they were so upset. Guess what Jacob did? You think Jacob said, good job? No, Jacob reprimanded him and said, now there's going to be more war and we got more things to worry about. You know why? Because God avenges. Isaac didn't kill anybody either. Abraham, he was like involved in some stuff, but he didn't kill anybody either. Didn't even kill his son. A lot of people think that he was supposed to kill his son. There's a story behind that. We'll talk about it another day. But my point is, you got all these people claiming that they're, oh, I'm a devout this, I'm a devout that. And then, the people they're supposed to be following after, the God of Jacob, the God of Isaac, the God of Abraham. Jacob, Isaac, and Abraham didn't kill anybody. They let God take care of things. And so will I. Because you know what? You know what Christ taught? Christ taught that what you do to other people, you do to yourself, ultimately. That's the truth. I even wrote a poem about it.
What you have done to the least of these, you've done to me. For I'm in them and they're in me. The wise know there is a harvest for what we sow. God is not mocked, for evil or good, an equal portion we receive. So be careful then who you hate, because they will always be me.
Whole world seems to be in like a trance. Whole world just seems to be, listen, a lot of you have been on here for a long time. You've been following the channel for a long time. And for those of you that are new, hey, do me a favor. Like, share, and subscribe, because that's the only way you're going to get more of this stuff. And I tell you, I'm a pretty sincere guy. I really mean it. I think you should like, share, and subscribe, and share the channel around. You should probably also, the only sponsor that I have, if you want to support the channel, you want to get something that's going to help you out. You know, all of this stuff, reusable. You don't have to worry about having a ton of plastic and everything else. And you don't want to worry about toxins, because who the heck knows? All of these big companies and all these big businesses and all this stuff, all the corners they cut and all the chemicals they put in these products that we then put on ourselves. The deodorant I use, I love their deodorant, by the way. I don't got to worry about all the stuff that goes in most deodorants. You're putting it right on your body. There's a $5 trial. If you want to support the channel, best way to do it, go into the links of the description below. You'll see right here, you just click more, you click more again, and then there'll be a bunch of links. Click on that link, try it out for $5. You help me out. Otherwise, you can get like some of the merch. It's in the description of the video. You can get yourself a copy of The Call-In. All of these things. Somebody told me that I should do this like halfway through the video instead of the end, and that maybe it would help me more. And I gotta tell you, I appreciate the help. It's very helpful. But the world seems to be in some kind of a great delusion. That's right. That's what the scriptures say would happen. People would get lusts. They would get nuts. They would lose their minds. They wouldn't know what is right and what is wrong. They would call good evil, and they would call evil good, right? I'm telling everybody we need to love, we need to come together, and people are like, oh no, you're terrible, you're a monster. I'm a monster. Oh, good grief. I get upset, though, when I see, like, these big-time influencers in, wearing their yarmulke, coming on in the name of God, like Ben Shapiro, and saying, F off. And I'm like, you're not a man of God. You don't know the God of Jacob. Believe me, the God of Jacob, you don't want to mess with Jacob. You don't want to mess with Jacob. First of all, you don't want to come here because I defend myself. I believe in defending yourself. I do. I just don't believe that if there are a couple of bullies in a neighborhood or a couple of monsters in a neighborhood, you wipe out the neighborhood. I don't believe that either. But I do believe that God is going to work things out. And you watch and see how it's worked out. And it's going to be interesting. You know, before I even get into this Mandela effect, this is supposed to be a Mandela effect video, and I'm talking all this other stuff. Last night, the Dan Dan's upset because, you know that viral video? I had a video that I was on Twitter about, somebody saying that the people that are coming in, may be paid soldiers. And I said, I don't know if it's real. I don't, because, if I knew it was real, I would tell you. I don't know. But turns out that video was taken down. Spooky. right? But now, like, the news is everywhere. The Trumpster's been saying stuff about, like, all the people that have infiltrated. And Dan's all worried, you know? So what does she do? She's like, I don't know. What are we going to do? She was concerned. And I said, let's get the Bible and let's play a little Bible, you know, flip through. I don't know if you've ever done this. I do it all the time. You know, I need a word, Lord, you know, or I'll grab like a fortune cookie or something. I don't know. God speaks to us in many ways. So I throw the Bible to her. I say, open up to any page and just point to something. And she goes, oh, this again? This again? And I go, yeah. And my question was, I said, are things going to get worse? And then the second question that I had, which I didn't tell her yet, was, are we going to be okay? So she opens the Bible. You know what she opens up to? Ezekiel chapter 9. Ezekiel 9. Let me open this for you and let me read this to you. You know why it's weird? Because we've been talking about the number 22 a lot, right? We've been talking about the Tau a lot, the Tav, right? Remember on a video I did just a little while ago? Remember Elon just named his 11th child Tau? And it based on Tav. And I explained how in Ezekiel 9, God tells the angel, the messenger with the inkhorn, to mark on the heads those that are not meant to be destroyed or utterly wiped out or killed. He says, put a mark on them. That mark is called the Tav. It's called the Tau, number 22. She points out to that very passage. I just found it strange. You know, the very thing that I've been talking about, the very thing that she points to it, the question that I had, Lord, is it going to get worse? And it is. It seems like it is, at least. It's, you go back and you, I'm not even going to read it because it's really not a great passage about the stuff that happens where you see, like, you know, old women and young women and children just being, I mean, it's terrible. But yet, God says those that were marked, those that saw the evil that was in the land, it says those that cried out and said, look, this isn't right. He said, mark those off, the good people, the people that are kind, the people that are patient, the people that are compassionate, people that forgive. This is the one thing I've been telling you all on this channel for years now. Get your house in order. Be kind. You're going to be okay in the days to come. Don't be motivated by fear. Don't worry, especially if you have a good heart. You're going to be all right. You've been marked off. It's in the book of Revelation, and it's in the book of Ezekiel, chapter 9. But there's a lot of other stuff that's in the scriptures, too. And some of it isn't the way I remember it. Yeah, I did a video years ago, like 6 years ago, where I did all the breakdown of all the things that we remember that are no longer in scripture. The way we remember, you know, like, judge not lest you be judged. That doesn't exist in scripture. I don't know how many people have it tattooed on their arms, tattooed on their backs. It doesn't exist in scripture that way. There's so many passages. That's why I'm going to play this video in a moment. But the one thing that I came across that just blew my mind, I thought was a new, I said, wow, this is a new Mandela effect. This is a big one. And it's ironic because you know what? The old Jacob's going to be in a movie about the Mandela effect. How about them apples? And guess what? Just got a new distributor. Oh, I'm really hoping that it does well. How cool would it be? I didn't get paid for it. Nothing else. Went out of my way. I just, you know, I was just happy to be involved. So the producer of it did a lot of big time shows, you know, did like Alien Autopsy and a lot of other big things that are like outside of the box. We have a new distributor, so supposedly, we don't gotta wait till like next year. I think it's coming out in a couple of months. So I'll keep you all posted. But, you know, it was interesting because I was talking to him about it and how excited he is. And he said, I did such a great job. And I'm so happy to hear that. But I'm also blown away because, you know, I'm doing a little bit of studying, a little bit of research. And all of a sudden I read a passage that is not the way I remember it. Do you ever remember that expression, spare the rod and you what? Spoil the child, right? That's what you all thought. You all thought spoil the child. Well, guess what? In scripture, it doesn't exist that way. No, no, no. In scripture, it says, if you spare the rod, in scripture, it says, And this is in Proverbs chapter 13. He that spares the rod hates his son. Not spare the rod, spoil the child. That's not the way it was, the way I remember it. Is it the way you remember it? I don't know. And it says, but he that loves him chastens him. Now, here's the weird thing. I do a little research. Because, of course, a lot of these Mandela effects, they could just be false memories or you remember it wrong. It doesn't mean that it's like a legit, like, you know, reality. We're in a simulation. They upgraded things or we're an experiment or time travel has happened and things have changed, but you somehow become a constant. Doesn't mean any of that stuff. It could just mean you forgot it. So I did a little bit of research and it turns out that that expression, spare the rod, spoil the child, that's not even in scripture. Although I've taught about this. I went back to my website, jacobisrael.com. If you're not aware of it, go to the website, check it out, subscribe there. It's free. I have hundreds of essays that I've written over the years, kind of just taking the things in the Bible that a lot of people just don't understand, and religion is really twisted and really missed the mark on. And I've kind of shared the glorious, wonderful truth of it, which is so encouraging. You should go there, subscribe, please do. It's a way to keep in touch if anything happens here on YouTube. But I didn't have anything written about it, so I couldn't verify that this is a proper Mandela effect. But I did find out that a lot of people said, the reason people say, spare the rod, spoil the child, is because of a poem that was written, a 17th century poem called Hudibras, by Samuel Butler, that actually is a poem that was written to mock Christian values. Isn't that funny? 17th century poem, there's the number 17 again. You know what letter that is, huh? 17th century poem, mocking Christianity. And what it was an erotic poem. Erotic, you know erotic, eh? Eh? I got four children, I know erotic. A man that was trying to woo a widow. And the widow said to him, she was encouraging him. She says, you want to prove your love? Well, let me whip you. Let me whip you. Let me whip your rod, if you know what I mean. Oh, that takes on a whole other meaning, doesn't it? That's not the spare the rod, spoil the child that I remember. No, no, no. But you know what the irony is? The irony is that a lot of people take that passage and then they use it as an excuse to beat their kids. Isn't that crazy? Do you know what the rod is, by the way? Jacob used rods. Jacob, when he went to work for Laban, his uncle, who was a sheep shearer, Jacob was a shepherd. You know what he did with the flocks? He made a deal with Laban. He says, give me all the speckled. Give me the speckled sheep. Give me the speckled bulls. Give me the speckled, you know, all the speckled animals, because they were a little, they weren't as not many people wanted the speckled. They wanted they would rather have like a sheep with white wool than a sheep that was speckled. A lot easier to deal with that way. So Jacob, what does he do? He takes his rod and he puts it in the waters. Kind of like when I was working for that Christian television network and I created my website and I created the YouTube channel and I wrote the novel and I put my rods in the water. And what does a rod do? A rod, it's a shepherd's rod. It's a staff. It's a way to guide the flock. That's it. Not beat the flock, to gently guide the flock. A shepherd's rod was not used to beat. It was used to guide gently. In fact, the Talmud teaches this, that if you want to lead somebody, you don't lead them. You don't lead them in a hard way. You lead them with the gentlest form of discipline you can. That's taught. Ben Shapiro, just so you know, who's like calling on and, you know, just turn the Gaza Strip into rubble. Half of the people there, half are children under the age of 15. That's why I saw this on the news. I was like, this is just madness. You know why? Because we don't have righteous leaders. If we had righteous leaders, we wouldn't see any of this stuff now, would we? So we need to pray. We need to pray today, because we're going to see a lot more craziness happen, and it's going to ramp up. But once again, Ezekiel 9, if you've been good, if you've done what I've told you on the channel, if you've just loved and you've been kind and you have faith you're going to be all right. And if you haven't, you should do it now. Do it now before things get worse. You know, even the Jewish law, they had laws. You couldn't whip somebody more than 40 times. That's why Jesus was whipped with less than, it was like 40 less lashes. You couldn't go over that. It was a law. And it was only for the wicked to be whipped that way. And you have to really be proven to be wicked. So it's not the best thing. You know, you don't want to be hitting your kids with stuff. I remember when I went to, work for that network, I remember talking to a couple of guys that worked there. I went to their house and they had a paddle over the fireplace. And I said, "What's that for?" And he says, "Oh, it's for our children." I was like, "You have a paddle over?" See, I was beaten as a child. I was whipped with belts. This is not the way I raised my children. My children are good children. I have honor roll children that are going to great universities that have always done well. I have wonderful children. Never beat my kids. Never hit my kids. I did the claw. I grab them under the arm and I bring them to their room. Or when they were little, I used to go like this to them. I go, "Don't do that." I used to do that. Boom, don't do that. The gentlest form of discipline. Spare the rod. And you hate your child. You got to direct them in the right way. But what's the rod? The rod is the rod of God. It's Aaron's rod that budded. It's the truth of God. It's the love of God. You spare that, you don't love your children. If you teach your children to hate, you're sparing the rod. It's not about beating your kids, like they say. But I'm saying that's not a Mandela effect. But I know a lot in the Bible that are. So I want you to watch this. This is going to be a clip from what I did about 6 years ago. It's going to blow your mind. The changes in the Bible just blew my mind back then. And they still, to this day, like alien. Like, why is there an alien in the Bible? Why are people, you know, going and lifting up their couches instead of their mats when Jesus heals them? Who brings a couch to the street? Jesus is like, "I have healed you. Now pick up your couch." It's in the Bible now. What? Enjoy this, and then I'll talk to you at the end of it. Hello, my friends. Jacob is here. Thank you again for pressing play and for spending some time with me. We're about to enter a new year. Oh, how exciting that is. Okay, so I've been getting tons and tons of requests for more Mandela. In particular, changes that have been found in the Bible, the scriptures, King James Version in particular, because that's the only Bible that I've studied from. And that's the one where most of these changes are being found. And I have found quite a few that haven't been mentioned. And they're really disturbing. And towards the end of the video, I personally have irrefutable proof that these things have happened. Personally, I wrote an essay about Paul's thorn in particular, where a pivotal verse in that essay, the pivotal verse, the only verse that really mattered in the entire essay that I wrote back in like 2009, is now missing. It doesn't exist, historically speaking. We're not talking about new changes. We're talking about changes that have been made to the Bible, Bibles that you may already have, Bibles that your grandparents have or your great-grandparents have, Bibles that are in museums. They no longer are read the way we collectively remember them. Because just like all of the other weird changes to movies, to logos, to body parts, to land masses, the Bible has changed. And the change in particular today that I'm going to mention, this one pivotal verse, really is very disturbing. I'm also going to be talking about a connection with CERN. Some more stuff has popped up. I did a video on this. If you haven't seen it yet, please go back and check it out. So we're going to find the connection with CERN to these changes. And not just that, but this crazy little hum, this worldwide hum that is being recorded everywhere all of a sudden around the world. And last but not least, yeah, that's right. They are now comparing Trump to Jesus. They are saying that he is the new king. And some of the things that have just come out within the last week or so are a lot of people are up in arms about. We're going to dig into this Messiah that they are now calling Donald Trump. And is it all connected? I think everything's connected. I think it's all linked together, and today we're going to find out why, because buckle up, people. We're about to enter the Bible Effect Mandela Zone. As I said in the open, these are changes that I'm going to be talking about in the King James Version, the 1611 King James Version. So please don't put comments on there saying, hey, my NIV hasn't changed, or this hasn't changed. Guess what? Turns out they're starting to follow suit. We're finding changes in the other versions, but today I'm only dealing with the changes found in the King James. Okay, so now I've done videos on this. Okay, I'm going to try to just give you a little bit of background, a little history. We're going to start off with some of the most famous, okay? The lion and the lamb dwelling together, this is found in Isaiah. You can find pictures online where you'll see a lion and a lamb together, and they will reference that quote, and you'll see the quote written out. But the difference is, right now, Isaiah 11:6 reads, the wolf shall dwell with the lamb. The wolf, not the lion. Now, I know that that's probably not news to a lot of you, just like you don't put new wine in old bottles, which actually was wineskins. We all know it's always been wineskins. They didn't use bottles back then. You may know about the bottles, you may know about the lion and the lamb, but did you know that back in the day, in scripture, in the King James, the word couch was there? Couch! Yeah, that's right.
Use Kayak to book flights on days that cost less. Download the Kayak app now.
At Raymour & Flanigan Outlet, you can discover your style for less.
Amazing deals on brand new bags.
When the apostles in the book of Acts, what they would do is they'd bring the sick and they laid them out in the streets. And the verse used to go, they would lay them out in the streets on their beds and, you know, and their cots. But now it reads in Acts 5:15, in so much that they brought forth the sick into the streets and laid them on beds and couches, that at the least the shadow of Peter passing by might overshadow them and they may be healed, right? Couches, right? Yeah, the word couch was never in the King James before. The word couch didn't even exist until, I think it was 1895. It was invented by a man named J. Wellington Couch. Not only did they not have couches back in the day, thousands of years ago, but they didn't even have the word couch in 1611 when the King James was written. That's why in Luke 5:24, which reads, but that you may know that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins, he may say unto the sick of palsy, I say unto thee, arise, take up your couch, and go into your house. Yeah, the sick and palsy, you know, they're laying there in the middle of the street on their couch, and he heals them, and he tells them, pick up your couch, bring it into the house. Yeah, because that makes a lot of sense. It was never couch. It was either bed, it was mat, or it was cot. But the Bible has changed. And did you know that in the, the faith chapter, one of my favorite chapters in Hebrews 11, when they were talking about, you know, how people could do all things with faith. By faith, you know, they did this, and by faith they did that, and they fought armies and sent them flying, and by faith they believed that this would happen, and it happened. And it's a great story for us all to learn that with faith all things are possible. Well, guess what? In Hebrews 11:34, did you know by faith they drove away the aliens? Yeah, that's right. The word aliens is in scripture now. It doesn't make a lot of sense because it never existed there before, but now it reads, Hebrews 11:34, quench the violence of fire, escape the edge of the sword. Out of weakness, they were made strong, wax valiant in fight, and turned to flight the armies of the aliens. If you don't know about me, you may know that I was a TV writer and producer for about 20 years, head guy at WWF, when it was WWF, head guy at a lot of other networks. I was also the head writer and producer, the main guy at one of the largest Christian television networks in the world. Yes, it was very strange because I got there and obviously I share a very different view of things than religion. But I was there and I wrote a talk show and a kid's show and I did a lot of other things. But you see, at this place, which, you know, I got to know many, many so-called important people, you know, from Joel Osteen to T.D. Jakes to Benny Hinn to all of these guys. Got to meet them all. Got to see them firsthand as if God himself placed me there so that I could see, the world of religion. And I'm glad that I was there. And I was like Jacob when he was working for Laban, you know, the sheep shearer. I was like a shepherd. I was a writer. And I was doing what I could to influence the world in a positive way. I say all this because this network, they had like this one primary motto, right? And it was about preaching the gospel because the gospel must be preached to the ends of the earth, right? Okay, so we've... Guess what? That passage, it doesn't exist anymore. The gospel is no longer preached everywhere. It is now published in Mark 13, and the gospel must first be published among all nations. Published. Yeah, they didn't really have publishing houses back in the day, but it's there now. Yeah, and did you know that Jesus, he gave out investing advice? Sure, he told people that, you know, you should put the money in the bank so that it can collect interest. The bank. Here's another one. This is another one that I wrote an essay on. And it's great. Where John is talking about he that comes after me is preferred before me. It's a beautiful allegory about how, you know, the second nature of man, the first us, you know, we have no idea how amazing life is going to be. And I know that things are hard for us now in this, you know, first idea of who we are. But, you know, when we are born again, if you will, it's, you know, we're not even worthy right now in our ignorant state to understand and comprehend the beauty and the majesty of that second nature of man, that born again nature of man, that Christ man, if you will, that's found within us all, that hope of glory, which is Christ in you, which this message John was trying to get across because he's kind of symbolic of that religious man. He says that he that comes after me is preferred before me. And he said, you know, that the one mightier than I cometh, the latches of whose shoes. That's right, Jesus wore shoes all of a sudden. You see, that passage was always about the sandals and how John was not worthy to unloose his sandals. But now, in the book of Luke 3:16, it says shoes. Jesus had shoes. This is one that, yeah, you know, a lot of people that go to church have heard of many times when they're receiving communion, the Eucharist, if you will. It's the Last Supper. And in Luke, you know, he took the bread and he gave thanks and he broke it and he gave unto him saying, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Well, the next line has changed. Likewise, now, and it doesn't even make sense in Luke 22:20. Likewise, also the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you. So the cup is the New Testament in his blood, which is shed for you. Doesn't even make sense. By the way, the word testament wasn't there. It was always covenant. It was a covenant. See, there's a difference between the word covenant and testament. It actually changes the whole meaning of this. A covenant is a contract. It's an agreement. It's a legal contract. It's binding. So when this blood that was shed for us, it was a covenant. It was a contract that through it we could all be saved from the ignorance that is in this world. A testament, on the other hand, is like, you know, when somebody dies. It's like his last will and testament. It's a person's will. Has nothing to do with that passage. And yet now, you don't find that word covenant anymore. Now let me get into, before I get into that one change that I was talking about in Paul's thorn, I want to get into the fact that now you find the word stuff everywhere. Yeah, stuff. Right? It's not merchandise. It's not goods. It's stuff now, right? Now you find the word stuff everywhere. Okay. So in Genesis 31:37, listen to this. Okay. This is the King James. All this beautiful flowery old English mixed with the word stuff. Whereas thou hast searched all my stuff, what hast thou found of all thy household stuff? Set it here between me and my brethren. Okay. Bottom line is the word stuff didn't exist. It never did. I've read the Bible many, many times. I've read many holy books. I've written on my website, jacobisrael.com. There's over 300 essays that I've written over the last 20 years or so that I share freely, that people read. Thousands of people have been reading these essays. I know the scriptures pretty well, right? Now, I could be wrong on some things about the Mandela effect. Memory is not to be trusted. But the word stuff didn't exist. Just like I know that a foolish person builds his house on sand, not earth. That parable about building a house on the rock, on Christ, on the truth, on wisdom, is smart for us all because we're supposed to build our life on the truth. And if we don't build our life on the truth, we're foolish. It's as if we've built our lives on sand, which when the storms come and the floods come, you know, the house falls apart because there's no great foundation. It's all about the foundation. And the fact that the word sand doesn't exist anymore and that it was replaced with earth is suspect because it doesn't make any sense. Another change that I know for sure was not in the 1611 King James. Now, let me get to the passage that freaked me out the most, okay? I wrote this essay called Paul's Thorn. It's basically, a lot of people didn't know what Paul's Thorn was. I explain it. It's pretty simple, okay? I can sum it up right now for you. Sower goes out into the field and he sows seed. Some of it falls among good earth, okay? Some of it falls among thorns. And the thorns grow up. You know, the seed is the truth. It's the word of God. Your word, O Lord, is truth. And so basically, someone's telling you the truth, and it's sowed into your heart, and the thorns that are inside, well, they basically grow up and they strangle it. So the disciples say, well, what are the thorns? And Jesus says, they're the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches. That's what the thorn is. It's the cares of the world, the sins of the world, the deceitfulness of riches. And I tied this all together with this one pivotal verse that is found in 2 Corinthians 12:7. And the verse, Paul is talking about how, you know, he said, I was given a thorn in the flesh. And he was telling people, he said, you know, out of the abundance of revelation given to me, God sent a messenger of Satan to buffet me. He was basically saying, so that I don't think that I'm so great, I was given this thorn in the flesh. It was a messenger of Satan. Satan is the father of all lies. A messenger of Satan would be a lie. The lies of the world, the cares of the world. He dealt with the same things that we deal with. We all deal with the cares of the world. That's so that we can learn about grace and how that we must trust that there's a bigger plan because grace is sufficient for us. But the pivotal verse here was God sent the messenger of Satan. God sent. Now, I actually referenced this in the essay where I put that passage up and then I referenced the fact that this last line is the most important, that we know that God sent the messenger of Satan, which means that everything that happens in our life is there for a reason. That God is in control of all things, which is why we shouldn't be stressed out about this stuff. God sent the messenger of Satan. Well, guess what? It doesn't exist that way anymore. Now this is the way it reads. And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above all measure. The lines are repeated. They don't make sense. It doesn't read right. And the very important verse, God sent the messenger of Satan, no longer exists. And I know it was there. This is one of my most popular essays. I've taught on this subject. Take a look. But I'm not the only one, because I was thinking to myself, well, I can't be the only one that came across this passage and wrote about this, because it's such a profound revelation. So I looked it up, and guess what? This guy wrote the same thing. Now, it wouldn't make a lot of sense, because if you were reading the essay now, the reader would say, well, hang on a second. It doesn't say God sent the messenger of Satan, so why would you reference that? Because it no longer exists. It did exist. But not just that guy. Look at this guy too. And of course, that very famous pastor, Charles Stanley. All of these people pointing out the fact that God sent the messenger of Satan and now it doesn't exist. Now look, I don't know at all, right? And as I said before, memory, you can't really trust it completely. But there are things that I do know, things that are ingrained within me. I mean, I've been studying scripture for over 20 years. I've been writing about it for years. I was the writer for the largest Christian network in the entire world. I wrote all of the copy for about 9 years. I ate, breathed, and slept scripture. So people, I know that these changes have happened. And I can say that I have some things that have made me question the things that are going on right now in the world. Okay? I did a video about CERN where I said that, you know, possibly behind it. I mean, you know what? Hey, CERN is actually located on a temple that was built in Roman times for Apollyon, the destroyer, which just so happens to be the one that was given the key to open the bottomless pit that brings about all of this nonsense. In CERN's Happy video, there was a little Easter egg, an old man holding a sign that said Bond number one and Mandela. And the Bond number one was Barry Nelson. He was the first one to play Bond in a TV series. You put them together, you get Barry Nelson Mandela, which brings us to the Mandela effect. Sort of a little like in your face Mandela effect, people. We're behind it. CERN is a spooky place, you know? This collider. I mean, look, the bottom line is this bottomless pit that is supposedly opened by that key. Well, guess what? The LHC, the collider, they were given the key. Their mascot, the destroyer, Shiva, proudly displayed. And let's forget about the fact that earlier this year, you know, the scientists thought it would be fun, you know, to put on a human sacrifice. They all got their robes and they dressed up and, you know, before the altar of Shiva, they, you know, pretended or literally murdered someone who was naked. Crazy, you know, right? These are, they were just making a joke, right? They were just blown off steam, right? An investigation that yielded nothing, by the way, but was definitely leaked to the internet so that we could all see that this is what they're doing there. Let's not forget that their logo is 666 to begin with. Let's also try to overlook the fact that the Gothard, that satanic, horrible display that took place at the Gothard tunnel opening. I did a video on that too, check it out. Where Baphomet and, you know, was running around and, you know, having sex with people and demons were flying around and all that craziness. And it was all about giving birth to the Antichrist, who would then, you know, basically rule the world, and all the leaders and heads of state would bow. And of course, on that big screen, we saw images of the collider. We saw images of them bowing down and worshiping time. Time going backwards and going forwards. And then at the end, they celebrated the opening of the abyss. Is there a connection? I think there probably is. I think it's all connected. So there you have it. You know, things are a-changing. Things have been changed. Not everything has remained the way we remember it. For whatever reason. But we're here now, aren't we? We're here now, so why don't we make the most of the time? And why don't we have faith? And why don't we pray? All you gotta do is pray. I tell you, you don't gotta go to me. I don't even have a religion. You can't even ask me, what do I have? What are you, a Christian? You're a Jew? You're a Muslim? I got a covenant with God. I don't want to, you know, put myself in a box of a religion. All these religions are all fighting. You got pastors calling for the total destruction of an entire people, a race of people. You got religions that are calling for the eradication of an entire race of people. You think I want a part of that? I don't want a part of that. But I will use the scriptures. Yeah, I will use the scriptures to point out what the truth is. The truth will set you free. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, they didn't have the scriptures, but they had one thing that they knew, and it was good to obey the Lord, and it was good to trust God and not fear, and it was good to love. So you should do the same. Ask for the truth no matter what the cost, and get yourself a copy of The Calling if you, if you like to read. It's like the best novel ever. Don't forget, you can't return it. It's like a new thing. I don't know why anybody would buy a book and then return it. Because believe me, I got like almost over 1,000 reviews right now on Amazon. If you've read it, leave me a review. It's just a great novel. And it's written for this day. It'll give you such great encouragement. And it'll take your mind off the things you're seeing on social media. All right, listen. I love each and every one of you. I'll talk to you soon. Bye-bye.
September 10th. Mars hangs closer to the Earth than it has in 6,000 years. Like the light that led men from the East to a child in a manger, it could well be a sign of good things to come. Thomas James shall be his name. The world will change because of him. In the small town of Bethel, in a time not unlike our own, a child with a great purpose is born. Years later, alienated by his peers and abused, Thomas suffers a devastating loss. When it appears he has nothing left to live for in the world, this is when his true calling begins. While trying to escape the sinister powers that be, a terrifying vision haunts him. Miraculous events seem to follow the peculiar young man as he struggles to come to terms with what he was born to do. The stage is set. The time is at hand. The truth will rise and a revolution will begin. The startling revelation of who Thomas James is, truly, will change the lives of those around him and set off a chain of events long ago foretold. There is more to this novel than one might think. Inside these pages hides a treasure just waiting to be discovered. So if you've ever wondered if there's more to life, or why it is we suffer, then this story will not only captivate you, It may just open your eyes to a truth that could set you free. Find out what is in us all that makes us heed the calling.